side of history.
Hey, hold on, you've got to get us out of here now!
I won't let you down.
Revolution.
Out of these gates. We've got a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand? If we stay together, we survive.
Holman, stay with me. You find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled.
Time for yourself will soon be at an end. Highness.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? What can do is smile. A man can do is smile back.
Yep. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep smiling back. At every turn that they try to bring upon us as a country and try to find rapists and brainwashers with that damn thing we call the mainstream media. Social media too, because hell, they use bots in the way of controlling conversations. But welcome everybody. You listen to the reality show. I am Two Feathers in the house, in your reality, in your life. We let you know that you're listening to the number one listener supported station on the planet. 13 years and running. And to let you know that we're doing a fundraiser here at Revolution Radio. And you've been a business owner for $25 a month. You can find yourself with a banner right here on Revolution Radio. We have a Matrix chat room you can go check out. Wonderful people in there. We have an outstanding management team that helps keep these servers going. So with you becoming a patron and giving every month or one-time donation, it helps keep those servers running. And we're just glad that when people come, you know, we let you know that you are family. And we just bring you to the family. So if you'd like to go check out our website, www.revolution.freedomslips.net, freedomslips.org, and have a look around. And what a wonderful platform to become a member of, you know, that it's like family here that we try to make some sense of this crazy freaking world that we live in. And with that said, I'd like to welcome my main man, Sergeant Miller. Coming from on the west side. How you doing,
all right.
Sergeant Miller?
Am I coming in good?
Charlie Mike, Raleigh, Jaleen, Charlie.
There you go. Read you loud and clear. There you go. Yeah, how's just going through the weather. A little rain. It's going to be raining the next couple of weeks off and on in our area. Yeah. So just get prepared for that, you know. At least it ain't cold.
Yeah. Freezing rain.
Yeah, at least it ain't
cold.
Go ahead. And then warm air from the Gulf, you know, like a blanket over. So.
Yeah. I've been going through it off and on.
So, yeah, so just keep your rain gear handy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got that trench. Well,
there you go.
You remember that Tuesday night, I think it was when they turned you around. That hard freeze we had.
Yeah, that was that Monday night.
That's when I turned around, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't run out Tuesday. I didn't run out Tuesday either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a conference call this morning. And, yesterday morning now, because it's after 12 here. So, we had a conference call and they happened to mention my name.
Mm-hmm.
Because I declined the route. I wound up turning around. And so Tuesday, I declined the route Tuesday. And the guy who they got to run out on that Tuesday night, he wound up jackknifing, I think, on that Lake Charles Bridge.
Oh, all right. That's the one that really shut it down.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the one that shut it down. He had the two lanes. He was across the two lanes.
Yeah.
So, I think it was a 53-footer. It was a 53-footer, right?
No, we carried 48.
That's close to, yeah.
Yeah. That could have been him.
He went viral.
Oh, he did?
I'm just saying, yeah, that the news, they had the police out there, state troops, the local Lake Charles. Yeah, he shut down that whole bridge, yeah.
But they said that in the conference call, they said that the speed limit was 75, he was going 50, and the police officer gave him a citation.
A citation? What the hell?
Yeah. But what happened was they tried to, they tried to write it off as, you know, the police are supposed to be, because they serve England, they always right.
That right there should let you know that this system is full of shit.
There you go. So what happened was they said that because of the road conditions, he should have been gone 25.
But I'm gonna tell you straight up, on that same road, we got to see, you know where Lacassine is at by Iowa, right before Lake Charles.
Okay.
We couldn't pass 50. It was four of us. Communicating, you know, we was on like a conference call, all four of us, because we was going to convoy together. You know, we was all on the same call.
Okay.
Two of us had doubles, two of us had vans.
Wow.
Now, the guys that had doubles was in front of us, so they couldn't go past 50 without it jackknifing or snaking the rail trailer. You sliding. So they dropped down to 45. 45 you can maintain, but you're losing time. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, you can't help.
You can't help. Even at 45, you still feel the little jerk, the little pull.
Oh, indeed.
And that's going to tighten your butthole. Trust me. They had at least 12 vehicles from exit 92 to Lacassine. That was either in the median to the right or median to the left. Didn't slid off the road.
There you go.
So, you know, that's just conditions. You can't do nothing with those weather conditions.
Ooh.
But hurt yourself.
Yes, I seen on the Weather Channel, I think it was one of those weather channels, they were doing a weather report, and it showed, I think it was, where was that? Minnesota, not Minnesota. Wisconsin, or somewhere up the country. They had like a hill area, like a little hilly area, like subdivision. And this car was coming over the hill, wasn't going very fast. It didn't even matter. The car slid down the hill because the whole road was iced up. There was no stopping.
Yeah, they
bumped into a van or something. They took the mirror off. They couldn't help it. It was like it was on a set of snow. It was snowboarding or something. I mean, it slid. The whole vehicle was an SE, one of the smaller SEs to the other van. I think it was like a van or something. It just slid right into it, bounced off of it. I'm like doing like a little half turn and. come to a stop. But, I mean, you have no control when the roads are iced over. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I got a motto. They're going to easily replace you if you hurt yourself or kill yourself on this road. So what's important to you and your family? All right.
Turn around.
Better safe than sorry.
That's right. That's exactly what I did. When I saw that truck drive, I mean, that regular four-wheeler guy in the truck, regular pickup truck, he started side to side, and I was wondering if he was going to get control of it. When I saw that, I was like, I'm going to see.
Yeah, because so I think I called you around that time, right?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, just to check up on you, you know, just because make sure we're going to do the show around that time. Yeah.
Man, look, I felt my truck and trailer start sliding. And then I thought about that overpass over Opelousas Bridge.
But you wasn't even halfway to your destination. Imagine getting past Alexandria into Shreveport. That's not Louisiana. You're getting North Texas type weather.
What was that?
Oh, I think I broke up. No, I said you wasn't even halfway to your destination. Correct?
Oh, no. Right. No, I was only like 20 minutes in.
All right.
Yep.
So imagine Alexandria and midway to Shreveport. You talking about North Texas type weather, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But that's what happened. I got up there by Opelousas because they had an accident the very next exit after I left out the yard. Yeah. I went off the bridge. Like, not off the bridge, but on the pass. And we had to go around the service road, so I took the service road all the way to, I think, until Karen Grove, right there, where that Go-Bears is.
That's right there. There's the Grand Cathunsek.
Okay. I got right there, and then
That's where I'm at.
Jumped on the, go ahead.
That's where I'm at. That's my hometown.
Come on. Skype.
Yeah, you must be in middle of Alexandria.
Oh. Wait, say that again, Sarge. I'm sorry. I was my bad connection.
Yeah, you're getting bad connection, yeah.
Yeah, I had a bad connection. But what you had said?
No, I was just telling you that Go Bears, that's my hometown right there, Sunset Grand Coteau exit.
Oh, okay. So what happened was when I got up over there, that's when I had got around there and I saw that truck. That's where I got on the 49. And then when I hit that very next overpass and he started kind of side to side, this is not good.
Uh-huh.
So I got up over the next overpass, and I started kind of slipping and sliding a little bit left to right, and I was like, So I got over there by Opelousas 190 at Highway 190, and I flipped it around.
Yeah.
Called the office and told them that was it. Gone. And then the very next night, the guy who ran wound up jackknifing, and they saw that me making the call I made was the best safety practice. You see?
I mean, hey, but how long you've been trucking for so long, all right?
Yep.
So, and you done been in all type of weather. So that experience come in. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. I don't usually take off. I mean, I've been through some hurricane type weather as well as and we don't take off.
Yes, sir. And plus, we both watch Ice Truckers.
Highway through hell.
Oh, man, let me tell you something, man. You talk about the Exorcist. Nah, the Exorcist ain't got nothing on some of them ice truckers episodes.
You ain't never lied. So, tonight, man, I wanted to, because, like, you try to bring some of this information that awakens people. You know, what we try to do here at Revolution Radio with Sergeant Miller Two Fellas, but it seems like, you know, you bring too much of the real information. It's like people, you know, they're not ready for it. So sometimes, you know, you got to bring almost something into the limelight that, you know, that is affecting people, but, you know, it doesn't hit them in the chest too hard. But a lot of people are experiencing, but, you know, like these different generations are going through. So Trucker Shannon had, and shout out to her and her daughter, and she had shared a little bit of information with me that seemed credible, that, you know, a lot of people are going through that, you know, even today. That, you know, because we talk about the different generations, right? Because there's vast, you know, the boomers, the X's, the millennials, the zillennials. And I forget the one they say after the zillennial, you know, the ones that's below the millennials, zillennials, and they call them the Zers or something like that. I think that's the younger generation, right? So these the heading of this thing says the Gen X scoffs at the millennial complaint that boomer parents abandoned them. The Gen X scoffs at millennial complaint that the boomer parents abandoned them. So if you happen to be in the Gen X, which I think you are as well, Sarge. I'm not sure.
I'm late 70s.
Let's see. It says the millennials. All right, let's see something here for a second. Let me. These suckers are. They give a painfully accurate response where they hang out. So this common place where you'll find 34-year-olds. But I thought it was going to give, I think it's going to give the age. Like, okay, so millennials complain that their baby boomer parents abandoned them. Well, I thought the millennials, I guess, you could say some baby boomers might have had some millennials. I guess because, I mean, I got a son. I got sons that, well, I'm in the X generation, too. But I got kids that's in their 30s and 20s, right? So I would think they're millennials. Wouldn't they be millennials if they're in their 20s?
Yeah, that it's confusing, you know. That all that I understand it. I understand the sonic purpose of it, but they're not inputting the impact society at these times. There's so many ways we can go. You know, we can go with the crack epidemic. You know, we can go civil rights movements. You know, you got so many. You necessarily wouldn't blame the parents because they didn't understand what they was going through.
Well, you know what I mean? The thing is, this it shows a picture and it says it's a young millennial holding her baby, right? So it says some millennials lament that their boomer parents. You see, what I was trying to stress or express that you know, a lot of us Xers had a lot of these millennials, right?
Uh-huh.
So You see, now the boomers are more like grandparents, would be grandparents, which, I mean, I'm a grandparent myself, mm-hmm. right? I'm in the X generation. But the millennials feel like the boomers, you know, have abandoned them. I think what they're saying is we're talking about maybe like educated millennials, okay, is what we're speaking of here. We're not talking about they had some of these grandparents that went off and started these little communities, you know, these cocaine communities, as we heard in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they just abandoned the millennials, you know, being grandparents to these millennials, babies. So, in this picture, it says some millennials lament that their boomer parents. That's a boomer parent that I wouldn't call them boomer parents. I call them boomer grandparents have abandoned them as they start their own families, leading to mocking comments from Gen Xers. You know, and this the whole thing that what you know, I tried to express here on Revolution Radio is that, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, of what these, and even right now, you know, I had a conversation with my plant manager this morning about, you know, it's still that the system, they act like, you know, that they want us to be dumbed down. And, mm-hmm. And the way that I expressed it to them is that, you know, what they try to do is, I don't know if you're familiar with NTI. That's the National Trucking Industry. NTI.
Yeah. All
right. It's funny how these companies, when it came to, like, let's say a raise per se, right? So we wait. See, we don't get a raise but every 3 years. So what happened was when it came time for that raise, we only got 0.05%, okay, is what we got. So we got in a 3 year, we got 1 year. We got a 1 year raise and a 3 year raise, a three year waiting period, okay? So in what I'm going to and getting at is that you see the millennials in a lot of ways, and we're talking about educated millennials that's got their head screwed on. You see, they don't realize that these baby boomer grandparents, they're living their life to the fullest and saying the hell with old folks home, you know, these living it up. You know, they're not taking care of their grandbabies while these millennials try to go out and get theirs. Or the wealth has been passed down to the X generation so that therefore we could hook up and be probably better grandparents to our millennial children, which will be our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the way we should be looking at this thing. And, I would say that the baby boomers have abandoned them and becoming grandparents. So to call these baby boomer parents, you know, I don't know. They would have to be some damn old baby boomer parents almost, you know, to have a millennial child. Hell, we got millennial children. I do. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a 24-year-old son, so.
There you go. So, the way that they put it, that the millennials complained that the baby boomer parents, see, abandoned them, and now Gen X is laughing. Well, me as a Gen Xer, I'm not laughing at them because I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
You see? This is why I'm sharing it the way I'm sharing it, because I want people to see, and what Trucker Shannon had shared with me, it was a known fact down the Florida Panhandle, they had all of those condominium complexes like I had shared on the show, that were, you know, like at least $700,000. So, and the grandparents are, you know, having their, you know, sowing their wild oats in their old age, you know, instead of being grandparents like they should be, you know, and it's just, this thing is all out of balance, you see? So, it says ongoing tension between many who were born between 1981 and 1996. And baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964. Mm-hmm. See, that's the baby boomers. It's nothing. Now remember, that's 1946. My mama was born in 1948. So,
yeah.
I mean, these are pretty old people. We're not talking about no young chickens. You know? Hell, my brother was born in 64, and he would have been, he'd be 60 years old this year. Mm-hmm. You know? So, we're not talking, I mean, that's the last year of the baby boomer year. So, that's a 60-year-old individual. So we're talking about the ones that were born in 46. You know, that's some old jokers. So yeah, the baby boomers, those born between 46 and 64, is nothing new. But Gen Xers, those born between 1965 and 1980. And when was you born, sir?
78.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so you were Gen Xer. So express little empathy as a generation largely known for raising themselves as the boomer parents work. Yeah, they worked all right. Up there in D.C., they were working it good, huh?
That's a whole other ball game. you got to think about it post-Great Depression. I think that's a good... That's a good timeline to put it. You know, my grandmother that just passed, she was born in 1933.
Hey.
So, that's Roosevelt with the gold standard when they confiscated the gold.
Okay.
So, that timeline, you came up with soup lines.
Yep.
The pull bar, shrimp pull bar. You know, that's a good story, because you know, the workers on the docks took a 4-to-4-course meal, so the chefs come up with a sandwich, you know, with the pull bar.
Okay.
So that's the story of like the shrimp pull bar, catfish pull bar, the hoagie, you know, down here in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So. You know, we made do with what we had at that time.
Yeah, so they say the criticism that baby boomers are leaving millennials without any grandparent support. See? They grandparents, shoot, they great grandparents. They talking about grandparent support. Is a new challenge popping up as many millennials start to have children for the first time. So, you see, this is where I think they got the, even though they know the dates, and they may have the dates correct, but they still got it screwed up in calling the boomers parents. The boomers are freaking great, you know? That's why I say the great-grandparents out there living it freaking up. You know? This is why this thing is so unbalanced. And like you said, you know, that's a whole nother ball game talking about up in D.C. These great-grandparents been on the take since Pelosi was juggling freaking hockey stick up there in freaking D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They had this game figured out early.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Man, she been up there since damn near Teddy Roosevelt.
Hey,
you know?
That's a reality.
Man, come on, man. I wasn't calling a Grandma Pelosi for nothing.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and made millions, made millions in Congress. How'd that happen?
Insider trading.
All right. That's why I got a motto. Dumb criminals go to jail. Smart criminals go to Congress.
There you go. You said. So it said, in the business inside of peace, millennials share their struggles of entering adulthood and starting their own families, while the baby boomer parents, baby boomer great-grandparents, left and embraced world traveling instead of supporting them. Hey, you see? They jumped in the motorhome and went on the road. Yeah, screw those great-grandchildren. Yeah, we don't need to help our grandchildren, you know? Yeah, they don't need any help. Have them, you know? We'll go spend $100,000. Yeah, we want to live it up. You know, instead of trying to plan like a vacation and taking the whole family, you know, of the grandkids and the great grandbabies, and let them go, you know, spend a week somewhere or a weekend, and then turn around, because man, after they on the road, you know, they could be on the road a month at a time, 2 months, but I guarantee you, somewhere down the line, they're going to want to flip that bird around and come on back to their home planet.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's no doubt about it. Oh, now you want to see your great-grandkids, huh? Now you want to see your grandkids, huh? Yeah, after you done went and lived it up, spent $100,000 on a freaking road, you ain't got nothing, you don't have anything for your family, like, you know?
Uh-huh.
Are your workers, because, you know, your slave workers work to help you make that $5,000 a year, huh? Yeah, help you become a billionaire. You don't have anything for the working class, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. With Ron Newhart building that $1.5 million summer getaway home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. You know, we're just going, you know, we know we got these workers that these worker bees that make it happen for us. But that's what I was trying to express to my plant manager, man, that you know, we fight all year long to try, and just as well as you do, Sergeant, you know, your co-workers over there. You know, y'all struggle all year long to keep everything safe, no accident-free, incident-free, near accident-free, or near incident-free. You know, you do all these things to try so, you know, you can hope that something good comes out of you all being safe throughout the year. You know.
Mm.
That your raise could become like in a grandstand, so you could, you know, maybe treat your son or something to a better life, you know, a better way of, because if he ever needed you, you know, Dad, I need, you know, my motor went out or this or that, you know, it would be kind of hard for him to be able to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to put in a new motor, it might be a couple thousand dollars, and there he is paying, you know, trying to pay the way to live and doing what he's doing, and then might be like $1,000 short. But then they come in, you know, they come in building their $1.2 million summer getaway home, or they can't see you getting another nickel. Damn, son, I don't have it. You know, that's the worst thing you could try to tell your kid is you don't have it. You know? I mean, they ought to, and I mean, I know, you know, your situation might be a little different and you may be doing a little better, you know, than some people, and that's good. But, you know, there's people out here that they say, man, people has a hard time. A one-time hit, of $500 to hurt some family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
A one-time hit, it sets them back.
And it ain't getting no better. Because them prices doing cartwheel up the inflation chart.
Choo. Yeah, I got something on that, too. I got something on that, but, you know, it's just like you try to awaken people, man. It's just like they don't want to receive. It's just like you try to get too real with it. That's why I wanted to bring a little bit of somewhat of an awakening up to the realization of what's going on here. But, you know, it's just like, man, you get too real with it. Inflation? Are we going through inflation? Can we get another senator over here to sign another bomb, please, so we can go drop it?
Yeah, old $100,000 bomb on in Texas.
What's that?
$100,000 bombs apiece going off in 10-20 seconds. Killing thousands of people. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just, you try to look, son, and you, man, look, I almost can't talk, man. I speak because it gets that real, and you try to be real with people and express this type of speech to people, and you see, I can't come too real because when you start breaking down percentages, and that's why I had to bring that out in that way. You know,
uh-huh.
It's just like somewhat, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just like you try to express the stuff and it's just like you just keep trying to bring it. And hopefully someday, man, I don't know. I don't know. I just keep watching. And, you know, just keep bringing information like we do and sharing with the people and. Maybe little by little we can express it in a way that they'll get it. Bring more people aboard and say, look, man, y'all, we've been thinking about this thing all wrong, you know? And these guys on this station, they, in a lot of ways, and I'll give you a little tidbit right here. I was listening to something the other day, and I don't know what compelled me to go listen to Alex Jones. I turned on Alex Jones. He was talking about the very same thing.
Uh-huh.
Of some nonsense. You know? And I was like, damn, is this Operation Mockingbird?
Uh-huh.
You know? And that's exactly what it seemed like. And I was like, damn. And here we are expressing this real stuff. And it's like, you know, the masses ought to be tuning in. You know, just because he has a, you know, a live podcast or whatever, I mean, that doesn't amount to nothing if he's not speaking about stuff that affects people. And in a lot of ways, this affects a lot of households, you know, of these millennials that are really going through hard times. You know, especially in this high super inflation that we got going on right now. Because like you said, they're dropping them every 10 minutes, and they only cost them $50,000 apiece.
Yeah, yeah. And that's cheap. That's a discount.
That's a discounted price. Yeah.
I'm just telling you from experience of being in the Air Force arming F-16s. Sidewinders, GBUs, Mark 24s. The price tag on these suckers like $85,000. And that's back in, you know, 03, 04. You know, and you had depots. You had weapon storage depots with thousands of these munitions. Just sitting, waiting to be put on and you know, disposed of. For the training or live exercise. So, yeah, I've held these things. And, you know, soldiers will look at each other like, man, I don't even make $80,000 in a year. You know?
Yeah.
You're holding these weapons in your arms, putting it on these F-16. You're like, damn. Like, This is a good salary. It's going up in smoke.
Going up in smoke. And you know what? My son had brought something to my attention the other day. And people, I have to ask this question. Are we not in the Green New Deal at the DF? They're speaking is, you know, being concerned about the climate, everything, the climate. Are we not about in the world of climate change? Climate change in our freaking foreheads, almost got us stamped in our freaking foreheads, and yet they over there, are they worrying about climate change by shooting off $50,000 bombs? What are they doing to the climate?
What are they shooting at now? Yemen? Yemen is the conflict going on right now?
Yep. Yep.
You know, they dropping bombs. Yeah, y'all ain't worried about climate change, y'all changing the scenery by knocking buildings down.
Fact matter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm boo-boo the fool, though.
Yeah, boo-boo the fool. Like my boss said, over there at Stein Lumber. They wanted him to take a pay cut. He said, you must think I have wishy-foo-foo on my forehead. Oh, I went to laughing. I was like, wishy foo foo. Boy, that joker done pulled a rabbit out the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Man. And that they do, man. They think we got a wishy foo foo on our foreheads. You know, and like we fell off the rocker, man. But not here at Revolution Radio. Because people that come listen to this station, they get fed, man. They get the real. You know, of showing that how they're running away, dude. They're just running away with our tax dollars, and they expect. I got to give a shout out to the guy who was at the WEF the other day. He kind of, you know, put it down that here you go, here's a word. Do they not all meet at the WEF in Davos, Switzerland? Guess what they call it? The beautiful word of. Collectivism.
Mm-hmm.
So they all come together as a collectivism, and they got the beautiful money, you know, by the billions, trillions, and yet their own people, the one guy with the guy had proclaimed, and it's in the realization of what's real that they mm-hmm. said that yet the people are still suffering.
Yeah.
People are still hurt. Go ahead.
And then did you see that other article about the prostitutes?
No.
They imported thousands of prostitutes in Davos for that week.
Okay.
So, yeah. So they're contributing to the underground economy and the commercial economy. Ain't that something?
Oh, be doggone. You kidding?
Yeah, importing prostitutes. That's a national article over there in Davos. That's how I saw it.
I tell you what, I hope that those suckers you know, getting some good ones, some high class. But it's amazing, man, the high life that you get to live when you got people right here in the United States, you know, that could definitely use a hand up, you know, through, like even you and I, you know, the weather that we have to deliver these products, and for them not to, they think because they want to give us a incentive, i.e. Ryan Noah,
mm-hmm.
you know, dangling those trinkets. I told mm-hmm. my boy a while ago, my coworker that I meet up there, I said, you know, trinkets. I said, hell, we're about to have Mardi Gras down here. They could come down here and get a bunch of trinkets.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Throw me something, mister.
Yeah, what them bees going to do for you? Yeah.
You go home and put them in a box.
There you go.
And most people don't wrap them around their necks. Man, I done had them so thick on me, couldn't wait to get all those beads off my neck.
Mm-hmm.
man told me something missing, but they be throwing all kind of stuff off of floats. People out there, they like, look at these little peasants.
Huh? Now that's the concept we don't pay attention to in Mardi Gras.
That's right.
What Queen, what was it, Queen Anthony, what she said, give them bread?
Oh, feed them cake?
Feed them cake, feed them bread, same, you know. Yeah, feed them cake. Ain't that kind of the same concept?
Yeah, let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake, there you go.
Yeah, and they think that, you know, we're waking up with a stomach ache. So it says, quote, I've witnessed a growing sense of delusionment amongst many of my peers who feel unsupported by their boomer great-grandparents, especially when it comes to raising children. 32-year-old millennial, that gives a girl's name, from Austin, Texas, told Newsweek. So these great-grandparents are too busy to help. Since many millennials are having children at older ages, their parents or their great-grandparents, boomers, baby boomers, are in line to be some of the oldest great-grandparents ever. In 1970, the average age of a first-time mother was 21 years old, but by 2000, the average was 27.
Mm-hmm.
You know? With millennials accelerating this trend as they look for financial security before settling down and having kids. So as a result, with some great-grandparents now a little too old to play with their great-grandchildren, like in generations past, many millennials report that their grandparents are too busy to help out. So, quote, many are looking at 30-plus years of retirement and want to be able to travel while they are healthy enough to do so, unquote. How you love that? I want to travel. Yeah, something done lit a fire under their butt. Let's go get a $100,000 motor home and go hit the road.
Uh-huh.
Baby boomers are doing. And they spend accordingly, far more than other generations on travel and eating out. Must be nice, huh? So a Bank of America report found. So they also own around half of the wealth in America, as millennials deal with dismal levels of student loan debt, plunging housing. They don't even mention the exes. You know, just like, just skip over the exes and go straight to the millennial. You see? So they don't even, it's just like, I think that's a damn crime change. You know, because, you see, that's the thing about us exes. We get it. You know, we get the way that these suckers done did us. That's why we don't lay down and we speak out, because this crap should have been spoken about years ago and should have been done right. If the system would have been done right, we wouldn't be skipping over to the millennials, and now the millennials are suffering because they didn't take care of the exes. You see, that's the truth of the matter. You see, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to have that discussion. You see? Because you strike a nerve. No, I didn't say strike a pose, Madonna. I said strike a nerve. Oh, my. I brought up Madonna. Damn. Strike a pose. You remember the Vogue? That song, yeah. Vogue?
Yeah, like a virgin.
Yeah, she said, but she said Vogue, strike a pose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it says that disparity can easily fuel a sense of inequality. Oh, you freaking think? And resentment from millennials to baby boomers. The quote, many of us are burdened by student debt and grappling with stagnant wages. That is, see, that's the problem. Those damn stagnant wages. That's what's done it. So they've taken all the wealth from all insider trading, all this stuff that they've done. And I gave the story one time of these business owners who, man, if I could make $1 million, I'd be a rich man. But, you know, what happened was the working man helped them make 10 times $1 million. You see? And that's where we get the statement that you got trillions paying millions to protect their billions. Mm-hmm. You see? That's where we get that statement from. You see? So, and then you got stagnant wages because they continue to do hide their money in offshore accounts that are funded by the taxpayers, i.e., the Panama Papers. Mm-hmm. You see, that's money being earned to corporations that go to nowhere. But Name Your Dog is the name of their corporation offshore in the Swiss bank account, interest free. Mm-hmm. That they gain the most interest in. They just offshore their money. You see? And yet the poor worker over here struggling to put a set of tires on their vehicle to get to work so they can do your damn work and deliver your product to your customer. You see? But all of that doesn't matter. They just a number. As Walmart, like in a lot of ways, you know, have done in the years past. You know, they do it in the wake of their products, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like their milk, for example. You know, we heard that one of our co-workers, Sarge, that said he did a test on the Walmart milk one time, and he put, because he likes his milk cold, he put a gallon of Walmart and a gallon of water. He put them side by side and the gallon of Walmart milk froze in the refrigerator, made with more water or something, he said. Damn. Because, you know, it's about the numbers. It's not about the people. It's about the numbers. I mean, that's what the problem is. They always worrying about the billions instead of worrying about the quality of life, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We got these millennials grappling with the high cost of living. Now we all struggling with this stagflation. You know, that's what we got. We got stagnant wages and stagflation. We're in a caste system where people are barely able to move. So making it challenging to afford the rising cost of raising a family, unquote. So, quote, contrast, our parents often enjoyed a more secure financial footing with greater access to home ownership and wealth accumulation, unquote. Because back then, freaking home, as I had put, only cost under $10,000, I think, for like a 3-bedroom home in 1 bath or 1.5 bath. Man, you could get a home for like hardly nothing.
Yeah, see those newspaper clippings, girl. Yeah. Even the car, you know, brand new car off the lot. What, 4,000 or 5,000? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Nah, man, better have $100,000. Go get you a new Chevy.
You ain't lying there. You listen to the Cognitive Reality Show with Two Feathers and Sergeant Miller in the house. Y'all better listen. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Radio at Freedom Slips. www.thefoxhole.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
What the heck is the truth, Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad under effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type, placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of Hutton's muted girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolutio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on that. Please help support the station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
To give a shout out to Sade. Happy birthday, Sade. If you happen to be listening to Revolution Radio or anyone connected with Sade, tell her we said happy birthday from Revolution Radio. I heard her birthday was a couple of days. A good old Oscar. Shout out to Oscar 602. They sent me a couple of years of Sade because he know I used to listen to religiously back in the day. You know, and not ashamed to still listen to it today, but She's mostly in my rear view because I done went well beyond. And but I still love her today. She's still happening. Anybody care to go have a listen to her? Because not only is that baby music making music, but joy back in the day and got me through a lot of hard times, I tell you that. I was so appreciative of that music there. So,
happy birthday. Oh, one of the best concerts years ago in Houston.
Yeah, we saw her twice in New Orleans, in the Dome.
And she played at least 8 hours.
Yes. She, a full concert. Worth
yes, sir.
Money.
Yes, sir.
She kicks on those old songs, too. Oh, yeah, it's happening. And I love when they put on that purple, man. lit up each band member individual purple light. Boy, I thought that was some fine stuff right there. My favorite color anyway. But welcome back, everybody. You look out of the show with Two Feathers and Sergeant Miller. Number one listener supported station, 13 years and running. It's all because of you, the listener. We're really glad that people and want to be a supporter of this great station. We know that when you come to our website, you realize and recognize that you, the listener, as of now. And that may change in the future, you know, but we just it won't be like a big old great deal or anything like that. But it just shows that the love and support that you have for this station. We have many ways that you can become a supporter. We accept cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. I was looking at that channel today and forgot to look at what it's up to right now. But, yep, that's another way of supporting the station. You can give through snail mail to Miss Terry Ackerman, a.k.a. Lady Horse. Just send a pretty little card and give a check and or a money order through in a pretty little card. And tell her that whenever she comes on Revolution Radio, you're glad to hear from her. You know, through that call snail mail. Our address is right on our website. You can go check out our Matrix chat room. A lot of people in there speaking about all sorts of things. You never know what they might be speaking about. Shout out to the people in chat. What's another one, Sarge?
Yeah, I think you covered the chat, archives, the website.
For the patron, they could give, as a patron, they could give every month, or they could give a one-time donation. You know, however they like to do it. But anything helps, you know, a couple bucks a month or one-time donation, you know, $100,000, it's all good. Two Feathers just throwing it out there, huh? But, hey, it's all good. So we just invite people to come check out our website, www.revolution.radio, freedomslips.net, freedomslips.org. Come have a look. Take a look around. It's all good. But, yeah, we were talking about these baby boomers who are living it up. And, you know, going on the road, buying those, and I mean, hey, more power to them, but doggone it. You know, share the wealth, baby. Because, you know, you're about on your damn deathbed. And Rupert Murdoch, who said he would never retire, I just saw he'll never retire, but that attitude done changed now, 92, 93 years old. He said, don't be ashamed that you might see a 100-year-old CO. Well, with all that greatness that he speaks, you know, because he was the big man at Fox News, I heard he fell and hurt his back, you know? But yeah, he's going to still have a great hand in the board and all of that over there at Fox. But that big speech ain't speaking so loudly anymore, you see, because things change. Just like that one stage said, I took the COVID shot. What else you took, son? Took all these damn shots, and she says, surely Jesus favors her. Fell down and caused a cranium crack.
Yeah, you're talking about that comedian.
Yeah, that female comedian. You see?
Yeah. I think Rupert Murdoch probably helped when Trump won that Iowa caucus.
yeah. You see? I'm telling you, man. We gotta figure that these people will believe darkness before they'll believe light, Sergeant. So if we gotta be the light here, Revolution Radio, look, we gotta be the light. We gotta shine that light, man, for people to see. You know, that lady says, surely, you know, I took the COVID shot, two shots and two boosters, and, you know, a flu shot. The vitamin C shot, I took it all. Boom! All headshot. Didn't, I mean, not even took a half a step. That was all she wrote. You know? I mean, people don't realize, man, the power of the Almighty. You know? I mean, dude, we got to get this right. But this is why we speak out here, Revolution Radio. So we let you know the baby enjoys the fruits of their labor. Oh, I love it. It was their labor. There you go. It was their labor. It wasn't all of our labor. It was the fruits of their labor. Yeah, they did it all by themselves. Mm-hmm. It goes back to what old Two Feathers amplified a while ago. Yeah, if I could be a millionaire, I'd be a, you know, if I could make $1 million, I'd be happy. Yeah, it's all because of their labor. They got 10 times a million. All mm-hmm. because of the fruits of their labor. Their labor. So as the baby boomers enjoy the fruits of their labor and indulge in retirement era travel trips, many millennials say they feel left behind. Well, hell, how do they feel? They think the freaking exes feel. You know? And this ain't taking nothing about them, and I'm not mad at the millennials. I'm saying that you help the exes, and then the millennials will have it. Because we would have never did our freaking millennial children. You know? We make sure. This is the way you take down. You know, I mean, you know, you help your people. Of all walks of life, they say love thy neighbor. But your neighbors are everywhere. You know? This is what you do. You don't just dangle some Mardi Gras trinkets in front of them, say, hey, throw me something, mister. Then you throw them a pair of beads. The freak is that supposed to do? My co-worker just said this very night. You know? He said he got $40 a week as a raise. Some of us got different. I made 50, you know, mine was $55 a week. What that supposed to do? Hell, I spent $400 at the damn grocery yesterday. Or before. What the freak $50 is done? They got me to the grocery. I fill up my freaking tank. Yeah, the freak that's going to do. Like Sergeant Miller said one time, he'd be burning 20s. He going to burn that.
Oh, them $50? Yeah. Man, that can't get you a tire. Or use tire these days, damn near.
Damn near, huh? Man, you're looking at, man, and they got barely even a little bit of thread on there. Yeah, it'd be $24 or $27 plus tax.
Yeah.
And then, damn, I guess it's...
All right, there you go.
You know? So, it says the Gen X fires back. That's what it says. The Gen X fires back. So let's see what they say about the Gen X firing back. It said the one group who's not entertaining millennials' woes is in this realm... the one group who's not entertaining millennials in this realm, Gen X. You see, I don't know, you know, who actually wrote this article, but you see, we wouldn't do that. We would not do that. You know, because I feel different that, and people had heard me speak that, you know, I believe in, you know, everybody should be there. And I think I got to give a shout out to Why Not, because Why Not and I was speaking earlier. And he said, you know what? We all should be millionaires. And he was right when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
So it said the generation scoffed at the complaints in the Business Insider of social media platform X. Quote, welcome to Gen X's world. Unquote. One user tweeted. Yeah, you see? Yeah. The girl was, I had shared the other day about how this girl was saying that she was making, and this was like a little single mother or something, or one kid, and she was saying that, you know, she was making like a double-digit figure, you know, income, and she said, damn. She said, I thought making $47,000 a year, I'd be rich. But then when she started figuring, you know, started figuring in the cost of living and this high inflation we in, she said, wait a minute. He said, how many corn dogs and romaine noodles can you eat?
Yeah. Well,
it started hitting home plate of what us exes been screaming from the rooftops for years now. You know, of the wrongdoings of these people who run away with the signing the bombs of like Sergeant Miller had amplified a while ago. He loading up these bombs that are freaking $50,000, $80,000 bombs, and they dropping them every 10 minutes. Damn near freaking whole house. They bringing a slot machine. Huh?
Old slot machine. You know how the numbers on a slot machine turn? Yeah. That's how them bombs, the cost of them bombs be flipping on them paperwork.
Damn, that's a damn shame. You said they're getting it at a discount.
Afghanistan got it at a discount.
Yeah, freaking discount. That's the discounted bomb, the one that they had at the back of the garage, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the warehouse. Give them the discounted bombs. We're gonna make some new ones. Yeah, those damn taxpayers, they could pay those exes and those millennials.
Ooh.
You know, they could pay for this stuff. You see, this is where I sympathize for the millennial, as well as our ex generation people. You know, exactly my point. Answered my case in point. So I said, welcome to Gen X's world, quote unquote, one user tweeted. Another said, quote, millennial or millennials, 22 years old. If they still need their parents' help now, wow, unquote. Yeah, their parents are the Gen X's, you see. You're freaking right, they need their help. One user described the Gen X perspective best with, quote, welcome to the party, pal. Sergeant Gen X, unquote. Man, that sounds like Sergeant Miller's quote.
You go. Yeah, welcome to the party, pal, whether you like it or not.
There you go. So Gen X's criticism is valid in some respects. Hell, in a lot of respects. Talking about some respects. But it doesn't fully acknowledge the unique challenges faced by the millennial. Oh, there's plenty. There's a lot, I'm sure. Quote, while financial hardship have existed, the sheer scale of student debt and the economic landscape we navigate are vastly different from what our parents and grandparents experienced. So the new era, part of the mounting divide between millennials and baby boomers in the family realm concerns the fundamental difference many millennials and the baby boomer parents, great-grandparents, have on how to raise a family. Yeah, you see these great-grandparents are hitting the road, baby. They give a whole new meaning. Quote, today's parents are bombarded with information and pressure to provide a more intentional upbringing, often require a much higher degree of involvement and investment, unquote. So, Linfelt, L-I-N-D-F-E-L-T, Linfelt, she only has a few clients who get help from their boomer parents, great-grandparents, for child care. Because you know the suckers ain't no big great-grandparents. They are parents. These boomers. That was my mama. My mama was a boomer, so I'm an exer, so my mama was. And I love how they just cross over the exes, though, in a lot of ways. You know, and just make it sound like the millennials' parents are the great-grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That they really are. But they just brainwashed the people in this article. But that's why I'm expressing it in the way that I am. So So, said only had a few clients who get help from their baby boomer great-grandparents for child care. Yeah, because they don't want to watch the great-grandchildren, you see? And there can be unforeseen consequences to the family relationship. Quote, for many of those, it has not been without some considerable strain on relationships, unquote. Quote, all of those have felt that it was worth it for the combo of the cost savings and the relationships with the great-grandchildren got to have their great-grandparents. But that is really, it really changed the family dynamic with their parents. Or with their great, with their grandparents. Talking about these millennials. So parenting styles have changed. So parenting styles of the younger generation prioritize great, gentleness and kind support, while many baby boomers call for strict and rigid rules in the household, along with intimidating consequences for children who fell out of line with their grandchildren. So, quote, millennials crave a different kind of parental relationship, one that prioritizes open communication, emotional support, and active involvement in their children's lives, unquote, just as well as us extras. I did, and I'm sure Sergeant Miller probably has felt the same in raising his child different than his parents raised him, as well as my parents did. You know, you didn't talk back to your grandparents and your parents. You find yourself waking up. I saw like a funny little video. So they had this girl trying to talk to the ex-er parent. And so she was like, I guess, like a millennial. And she was talking. She said she told her parent, which was from the next generation, to get off her lazy ass and get her something to drink. Well, the next thing they show you, too. She said, yeah, she's starting to come to the mama who was parent. Said, yeah, I think she's coming too now.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, look, they don't know where the ex generation been. You know, we've been down that road, boy. We know. Look, we'll give it every support. Doggone it. You're just coming to talk any kind of smack that you want. You may find yourself coming too.
Ooh.
You know, your eyes may be glazed over. I think that ex generation parent said, yeah, I think her eyes are glazed over, but it looks like she's coming too now. And the ex has been through some hell, boy.
Yeah, get your mind right. That's how you say it down here. Get your mind right.
Yeah, you're right. That's how we were. Your eyes would be glazed over. You talk back in the old days, you know. That's how we were, you know. Our eyes would be glazed over. We'd be talking smack to our parents and our grandparents. You know, you were told to go get a switch, you know, or whatever was closest by. Some people had to suffer that, you know, a belt. Some people are a hanger, you know, a set of wire, a speaker wire. You never know what you might get whipped with. Oh, look, you didn't want to get that twice.
Ooh.
Huh, son?
Hey, bro. I grew up with my grandparents a lot.
Yeah.
And I had other cousins that get their ass whipped. I learned from other people's mistakes very young age.
Young age.
I don't want that.
That joker get a boot upside the head.
Ooh.
Wake up unconscious in the corner somewhere. Shoot, man, they just did the old folk didn't play that back in the day, boy. You learn that discipline mighty quick. But it said, unfortunately, quote, unfortunately, many boomers struggle to break free from traditional parenting styles, leading to feelings of neglect and isolation among their extra children, unquote. So Andy McLeod, who is an older millennial at age 40, saw these challenges firsthand when her baby grandparent, mom, moved in with her after her daughter was 9 years ago. Quote, while challenging the pros outweigh the cons for us all, and she has been a hugely stabilizing force for my kids during and after my divorce, unquote. So despite all the pushback between different life and parenting perspectives, there could be a larger reason baby boomers are seemingly leaving their millennial grandchildren behind for greener pastures. Many of them felt like they've already given their entire lives into building their families, and retirement offers their last chance to live life for themselves. Yeah, see? They want to live. Take care of their great-grandchildren? Hell no. So, quote, I imagine the reason boomers choose to travel in a luau of helping with their grandkids is because they have delayed gratification so long, unquote. So, quote, they aren't willing to continue to sacrifice their wants and needs for their families, unquote. So, let's see. So, there you have it, you know? So that's why you get millennials willing to spend $7 on coffee because it makes them happy. You know? They got to do something to escape this this crazy world that we living in, huh? The grandparents, great-grandparents that done ran off, or the grandparents that run off and living the hive, huh? Yeah, they willing to pay $7 a day for some coffee. Man, that's $210 a month to fill that coffee cream. Ah. Yeah, hey, at least they're not drinking that alcohol that when they're on their way to work.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we were speaking a while ago. I think I got it right here. Hang on 1 second. So this goes hand in hand with what I was just saying. Let's see if this is the right one I got pulled up here. I got to turn to that other one. I had looked it up earlier. This goes hand in hand with what I was wanting to bring. You found it right here. Yeah, you see they willing to run off. They're willing to run off and not even give their great grandchildren or their grandchildren of millennials. They're not even wanting to give them a half step. You know, and because look at now they'll give you like in the wake of child care, they'll help you out like if you not making any income or wait like if you working at a McDonald's or Checkers or something like that, you working at one of these little burger joints, you ain't hardly making any money. They don't mind giving you like a voucher to be able to send your kid to daycare. But if you make a little bit too much money, but you barely living, you know, with a high cost of living, look at the paying high cost of rent. You know, a lot of people are having to endure paying high cost of rent even. You know, and these freaking, you know, these landlords are wanting to go up on rent all the damn time. But yet they don't want to fix their property in the lot of these, you know. But still, they shouldn't be charging these people, you know, that want to, you know, want to go and make some kind of headway out of this kind of life with this high inflation, and they dropping these 50, 40, 50, 60 dollar bombs. And we're having to, you know, as long with these millennials having to pay this high cost of inflation. You know, we never asked for this bull crap.
Uh-huh.
So this is what causes this little article to come up talking about greedflation, quote unquote, caused more than half of last year's inflation surge. Study finds as corporate profits remain at an all-time high. So we may be looking at the end of capitalism. Quote, those words from the pen of loquacious Albert Edwards of Society General shocked the Wall Street analyst Sir April and said Albert on his way to becoming a financial press favorite. Wait a minute. I know I had this damn article pulled up. Oh, hang on a second. Oh, got it. But, yeah, you see, I mean, and that goes to show that in a lot of ways, it's hurting these millennials. You see, uh-huh. The high cost of this damn inflation and all this stuff, you know, it continues to cause not only the excess, it's what do you think it's doing to these millennial generation? You know, they're the freaking thawing of what they're doing. And then they're signing bombs to go to be dropped in these different countries. These senators are signing their freaking bombs. You know, are you freaking kidding me? They're signing freaking bombs to be dropped in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to show you where their priority is, right?
Yeah. Shows you where the damn priorities are. Greedflation has gone too far. Yeah, and you think about the way that these millennials are hurting because of their greed, you know? It says when costs go up, so do profits. Yeah, you would think so, huh? That's not how capitalism supports. But that is the recent trend. For over a year now, consumers and businesses, both in the U.S. and worldwide, have struggled with stubborn inflation. But I thought that businesses had not long ago, if you worked your employees and you had more than X amount of employees, that you got over $30,000 per employee. And they were willing to waive any kind of right. You know, like in other words, you wouldn't have to claim that as an income if you were a business owner. Imagine people that had 5,000 employees or something. Well, you imagine the money they made, huh? How much of that did the employees get? Oh, they got some trinkets. Throw me something, mister. oh, boy, huh? Throw me something, mister. Hold on one second. I want to try to see if I can get this other article with what I wanted to read. Throw me something, mister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I tell you. Throw me something, mister. I wanted to try to pull this up. Oh, but it's going to give... I'll read that one because I think this one... What that does is it shows, like, percentages stuff. So anyway, consumers and businesses both in the U.S. and worldwide have struggled with stubborn inflation. And boy, it's been an eye for years now. More bombs they drop. I mean, how much are they going to burn off? But the soaring costs haven't prevented corporations from raking in record profits. There you go. They make record profits. Yeah. The trillionaires paying millions to protect their billions, huh? Oh, mm-hmm. Two Feathers done brought it back up. So the companies in last year's Fortune 500 alone generated an all-time high of $1.8 trillion in profit on $16.1 trillion in revenue. Voices largely on the left side of the political spectrum have been sounding the alarm on this. Think Bernie Sanders in Congress or John Stewart's recent grilling of former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. Yeah, remember Larry? Larry Summers was one of the what they call him, the three of them, along with Alan Greenspan and this other cat. Yeah, they were called the Three Amigos. They were the ones who had a lot of dealings with OTC derivatives. They went and educated Congress on OTC derivatives and laughed about it when they were leaving out of Congress because they made out like freaking fat rats. Yeah, the Three O's. See? A lot of people don't know that stuff. So, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, but now an economist at one of the world's oldest and greatest investment bank is singing the same tune. Hey, see, he's probably rich like a mother freaking now. Ain't no, because the last I heard, and then I just heard something else different, that he's got another position holding somewhere else. But after they were raking profits, the Three Amigos, being an economist, they sent him back to become a professor back at one of the colleges where he came from. But since then, I saw him not long ago, he's actually in with some other type of outfit, and I forget what it was. I wish I'd remember. It says, but Albert Edwards, a global strategist at the 159-year-old bank society? Society or something. General just released a blistering note on the phenomenon that has come to be called greedflation. Corporations. And greedflation is in blue. I'm going to click on and see what happens. I don't know what. Is inflation really this bad? Are greedy companies profit off the pandemic? Is the way that it expresses. It doesn't give a full article on it. But it's be called greedflation corporations, particularly in developed economies like the U.S. and the U.K., have used rising raw material costs amid the pandemic and the war in Ukraine as a quote-unquote excuse. Raise prices and expand profit margins to new heights, he said. And the French investment isn't just historic. It's one of the select banks considered to be systematically important by the Financial Stability Board, the G20's international body dedicated to safeguarding the global finance. Furthermore, Edwards wrote in the Tuesday edition of his Global Strategy Weekly, after four decades of working in finance, he's never seen anything like the quote-unquote unprecedented and quote-unquote astonishing levels of corporate greedflation. Astonishing levels. As Professor Wolf was saying, that their profits wrap around the moon and shoot into the stratosphere. That's how much wealth that these people have. You cannot even imagine unprecedented and astonishing levels of corporate greedflation. But yet the workers don't deserve nothing but $50 a week as a raise. There you go. Oh, we could get a new automobile now.
You get the one in the tar section. You can get the car in the tar section.
Yeah, there you go. I could get one in the tar section. Yeah, that's about the price of that sucker with the inflation costs, huh? There you go. Beautifully said, Sarge. Thank you for that. pick your favorite toy store. There you go. Damn. Unprecedented and astonishing levels of corporate greedflation and economic cycle. To his point, a January study from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City found that quote-unquote market growth, the increase in the ratio between the price a firm charges and the cost of production, was a far more important factor driving inflation in 2021 than it has been throughout economic history. So typically, higher commodity prices and labor costs squeeze corporate margins. Yeah, okay. $50 a week, yeah, we're really squeezing it. But make sure you buy that Winnebago. Go on that super vacation, sucker. And that build, make sure you get that summer getaway home of $1.2 million. I want to make sure you get that. We're going to do our best out here as slave workers, but you can get that. But thank you for ways. We appreciate it. So typically higher commodity prices and labor costs squeeze for margins, especially if the economy is slowing. Yeah, that economy's slowing. I got something for y'all Thursday night. Come tuning in to Feather Show. That economy is slowing. Yeah, boy, I tell you, they can mind rape you and brainwash you all the way around. It's hurt. But boy, if you tune into Revolution Radio, they not. But that was pointed to data released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, BEA, right, Bureau of Economic Analysis, last week that showed profit margins still near a record high. Yeah, so you see, even though we're having high inflation, these companies / corporations, remember what I just said, that each individual that you employed, if you had over 10 employees, I think it is, 10 and above, $30,000 per employee. We shrink it for our employees. We're going to get them a set of beads at the Mardi Gras, a pretty little set. We might even go to the Mardi Gras store and get them one with the big medallion on the front. Got the Mardi Gras whatever, you know, on the medallion. But they can hang it up at home or something. Yeah. Go home and throw that in the garbage. So that show profit margin still near a record high, you know, related to cost in the fourth quarter. The strategist said he assumed margins would have, quote, declined sharply, unquote, at the end of the last year and the economy slowed. But instead, quote, how wrong I was. Unquote. Yeah. How was unit profit margin showed well above unit non-labor costs. Way up there. Unit labor costs was well below the unit non-labor costs. And the labor cost was well under all of them. You see? Yeah, we'll just keep giving those suckers those trinkets. I think we'll have them. Yeah, we'll have them. This sucker was wrong when he thought that it wasn't going to be able to make it, you know. But the strategist showed that he was wrong. and soon the margins would have been in decline sharply. But it never. At the end of the last year, it kind of slowed, but instead of how he was wrong. So it was added that he fears that the quote-unquote supernormal profit margins of corporations in the U.S. and abroad could eventually, quote, inflame social unrest, unquote. Huh? Let's begin. He added that he fears the, quote, supernormal profit margins. Love how they put those two words together, supernormal. What about super profit margins? Huh? Unquote. Of corporations in the U.S. and abroad could eventually, quote, inflame social unrest. Yeah, because people are waking to, they're still raking it in by the billions, where we're just getting the trinket off the Mardi Gras float. You see what I'm saying? If consumers continue to struggle with inflation, yeah, we're the ones struggling. Accelerating a trustworthy future for AI. You know, some people say that, you know, those self-checkouts at Walmart, you know, it's a shame that, you know, you have a lot more people. They got those greeters at the door wanting to check your receipt when you go to walk out. Some people just walk out and hold that receipt. They say, well, if you trust me, you know, to ring up my groceries, then you got to trust that my money, my look, I'm showing you my receipt. See ya. You ain't giving me no damn benefits to ring up my own groceries. Bring the damn employees to the damn store and give these people some freaking money. You know? All this damn greedflation. The end of greedflation must surely come. Yeah, they can't see it in no distant future. That I would say, I don't know how Sergeant Miller feels. Otherwise, we may be looking at the end of capitalism, unquote, he warned. Yeah, why? Because they done made so much damn money that it went beyond capitalism. They call it greedflation now? Sarge? Yeah. Quote, this is a big issue for policymakers that simply cannot be ignored any longer, unquote. Because, yeah, let me just undermine that and step all over that and let you know that if you happen to be listening, right, because the money, the record prop that just gave us the great amount that they're making, right, the numbers, with the numbers don't lie, check the scoreboard, huh? Yeah, because they can no longer ignore the amount of record profits that these companies and slash corporations are making to the highest amount in the record number amounts that they've ever seen in their entire life. The greedflation. That they've even inflated the money. It don't matter if they inflate the money. They're probably using that. Because, number one, the government and corporations are on the same side, you see? So if the government and the corporations are on the same side of enslaving us workers, they could easily give us the name of the inflation name, right? And then put the corporation making the money, and probably, you know, no telling how much of the politician of our governments are putting the money in their banking accounts, you see? So together, they're trying to say that, you know, they have to jack up inflation by the super amounts because they're dropping $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 bombs every 10 minutes in Ukraine and Gaza, you see? So now you got the corporations and the government working together, so they just call it greedflation because they know that the greed at such an astronomical amount that they can no longer deny it. You cannot deny the numbers. It can't be ignored any longer. You know, record profits like they have never seen their entire history of mankind. But doggone it, we're going to make sure that you get that freaking trinket off that damn float. We will make sure that, even if we got to go into the Mardi Gras store ourselves and get it for you. We want you to hang that on your wall. Because you mean a lot to us. You know? Yeah. Buy your dog some dog food while you're in there. You should have enough after you pay that high cost of gasoline. You know, you might have enough to buy a couple cans of dog food. Oh, quote, the end of greedflation must surely come, huh? So, though could be significant in bringing a viewpoint that has thus far lived on the progressive fringe into the mainstream. For instance, a debate over greedflation last month during former Daily Show host Jon Stewart's interview with Larry Summers on his new Apple TV show, The Problem. I've never seen it. As Stewart and Summers, I wish I would have watched it just to see what old Summers says. I've been knowing about that sucker a long time. So, it's got it on here in blue, so I might have to look that up on the way home. So it said, with Larry Summers on his new Apple TV show, The Problem, if y'all want to check that out. As Stewart and Summers debated whether the Fed was right to pressure wages to fall by raising interest rates in its inflation fight. So Stewart pivoted. Why aren't we attacking corporate profit in any way? Because that's been estimated to be 30% of inflation. 30% of inflation. He took a tenable view that all of a sudden so Edwards seems to be so Edwards proposed a controversial solution to fix the rise of greedflation, which he said is confidence in the capitalist system itself. In a once unthinkable twist to those of us who lived through the failed prices and incomes policy of the 1970s, unquote. There's businesses are allowed to charge consumers have been blamed everything from the fall of the first Babylonian Empire in 1590 BC to the long lines at the gas pump of the Nixon and Carter administration. The common stories about the supported folly of price controls comes from the Roman emperor Diocletian, who enacted an, quote, edict on maximum price, unquote, for labor, commodities, and more to combat rampant inflation in AD 301. But the edict, which put in a death penalty, was broken. Damn. Eventually backfired, creating a scarcity of goods and reliance on government wheat that led to its repeal. Edwards noted that many of the colleagues, quote, less sympathetic to the use of controls, unquote, because of this history. But he argues their use may be warranted because, quote, something seems to have broken with capitalism, unquote. Oh, shoot. Something that seems to be broken. Yeah, it's broken, all right. Tell you what, to get that sucker unbroken, I'm telling you, anytime you got a damn economy, huh? Anytime you got a damn economy that's not working for everybody, we got a problem, Houston. We got a damn problem here. Huh? Hold on 1 second. So, let's see. Something seems to have broken with them, huh? Hang on 1 second. Let's see. Let me do something real quick. Hang tight with me for a second. I got a. I had to send him like a little message to how far out I am. So we all can see that something's broken here, Houston. The strategist referenced a paper by the University of Massachusetts, Amherst, economists and Evan Wisner, titled Sellers, Inflation, Profits, and Conflict. Why can large firms hike prices in an emergency? Yeah, isn't that a question we all should be asking, huh? Because nobody likes paying high inflation. Tell you what, man, it just makes me wonder. I sit here and watch this stupid freaking economy we have, and that's about, I was looking for, let's just say, go brand new, why not? Just for a thought. 2024 freaking pickup truck. Damn near 80,000. That's a freaking house. That's damn near a brand new house. $80,000 freaking a truck you can't use a bathroom in. Which found, let's see, market laws firm hike prices in the city, which found that corporations engaged in price gouging, quote unquote. Oh, as the music song, thank you for joining. Hey, help out each other, man. Don't be strangers in this game. Love a neighbor. Help them out. Help out around the world. Together we can do this damn thing. Y'all still listening. We love y'all. Come back and have a listen. Sergeant Melon Two Feathers on the Cognitive Reality Show. We out of here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Help one another.
She trapped the inkables from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions to the inharmony of the mystery of abstract stream of conscious malapropisms. She reweaves a cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just
nutritious.
Monatomic elements.
Longevity.
Fantastic discoveries in science.
Download it to your brain.
Then tune into us. Hi, I'm Dave.
Nice.
2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
You don't need to expect